Have you heard the story of the sinful woman? It is a familiar tale for many of us. She knows the looks that people pay her when she walks to the marketplace every day. She knows the sideways glances they give to her when they think that she's not looking. She knows the whispers that follow in her footsteps. In the middle of a crowded street, where elbows are constantly thrust into sides and bodies bump against each other haphazardly, she knows nothing of it, for they give her too wide a berth whenever she comes near. She never has to fear even accidentally touching someone. Even the merchant sellers are careful never to even brush fingers with her whenever they make their exchanges. She's used to the stigma of her reputation, but that doesn't make it any easier. She's taught herself over the years that making these trips to the marketplace as short as possible can help, but they're not a cure. No matter when, no matter where, her humiliation can be felt in every bone in her body, as if her sin has been branded onto her forehead for all the world to see. When she goes to the marketplace, she walks quickly, her head bowed low. She does what she came to do and quickly retreats back to the safety of her own home, away from the eyes that are quick to condemn. But one night, things are different. Along her normal route to and from the marketplace, she can't help but notice that everyone is too busy to stare, that they're too busy to shrink away from her, that they're too busy to notice her and forget to judge her. And the whispers that she hears, it's not the same tone that she's used to hearing. Instead of hushed, quiet voices, fearful that she'll discover she is the topic of conversation, the whispers are feverish and excited. She sees eyes that are wide with excitement as they talk to one another. Yes, yes, I've heard. Have you? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he's here in our village. Can you believe it? I hear that he's dining with Simon the Pharisee tonight. I might go if I can get up the courage, of course. Who could miss a sight like that? They all must have thought that it was a spectacle. Jesus dining with Pharisees? The holiest of the holy, they have been no fan of Jesus. No, no, not of the man who has been so quick to tell these holy people what it is exactly that they are doing wrong in their life. It was sure to be an interesting encounter, one well worth taking the time to go and see. But not for our sinful woman, or so they all thought. It's hard to tell what might have passed through her mind. It's hard to pinpoint what led her to do exactly that she did. Perhaps she went to beg for forgiveness, just as we see here in the text she was given. Perhaps she didn't have any plan at all. Perhaps it was just a supernatural urge to go. Perhaps it was hope. Hope that if Jesus could see something less than perfect in a Pharisee, he might see something more than sin in someone like her. No matter what she thought or expected, she quickly gathered up the money that she had and purchased for herself a small container of very expensive perfume. Proof of the alabaster container that it comes in. It must have taken courage to walk into that house, to that place where she knew that she would not be welcome, to approach a man that very well might shun her, just as the rest of society had. Predictably, the moment that she stepped inside the house, all conversations faded away. Eyes once filled with life and entertainment go wide with shock and dismay. She is the last person that they ever expected or wanted to be there. But nonetheless, she pushes through with her alabaster container. She's overcome with emotion and tears that by the time that she reaches Jesus, she's already crying. This is the one that they say heals the sick, who dares to raise up the poor, who dines with sinners, people just like her. Her emotions are running high, and she knows that it's silly, but she just can't help but notice his feet are dirty. Why are his feet so dirty? It's customary that when somebody goes to a household, you offer them water and clean their feet for him. She can't understand why Simon, a Pharisee of all people, would forget to do this. Why are his feet so dirty? Why has nobody cleaned them? So she does it herself, knowing that no one will offer her a basin of water or a towel to help. She wets her feet with the only thing available, the tears that are pouring from her own eyes. And when the time comes, she dries them with the only thing that she has on hand, the hair from her own head. His eyes are on her. Everyone's eyes are on her, but she notices his. There's something different about his gaze, something new about the way that he is looking at her. The others are all moving away from her, fearful that they will be the next one that she tries to touch, afraid that they might accidentally bump into her, and Jesus is unflinching. In the background, she can hear a conversation between Jesus and another man, Simon, perhaps, their host. But it is to her only distant murmurings, like an argument from across the street. She takes her perfume and anoints her feet as Simon has failed to do. She anoints the feet of Jesus in front of all who are wishing and hoping that she will just leave. She is not wanted there. And it is then that the unthinkable and the unimaginable happens. Jesus reaches for her hand. In a city where people scatter at her presence for fear of coming into contact with her, Jesus reaches out and draws her closer. "Your sins are forgiven," he declares. The people around him burst into debate about the validity of the statement he's just said, but she does not hear any of it. While they are busy arguing, she is crying. Tears of joy this time for the gift that no one in her life has ever thought to give to her. And as they continue to fight, Jesus gives her a blessing, and she takes her first steps out into the world out into freedom. Have you heard the story of the sinful woman? Ever truly heard her story? More than once this week, I was asked what I would be preaching on. The sinful woman, I answered in the beginning. Something about it felt wrong. There was something in my stomach that turned every time I said these words. And so toward the end of the week, I began to alter my answer. What are you preaching on this Sunday? Forgiveness, I said instead. And when pressed for details, I answered, I'm preaching about the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. There was one natural reply. Oh, the sinful woman. These remarks bothered me all week. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I couldn't tell why I had this horrible feeling in my stomach every time I heard these words, not until I was sitting in my office late Friday with my eyes closed, trying to picture the life that she led, the life that she had for herself. And when I realized what was wrong, I found myself in tears. 2,000 years ago, a woman that nobody liked or even respected was brave enough to come before a man that she'd only ever heard of. She wasn't a fool. She knew what the world saw her as and what they thought of her. She knew for herself what she was. But Jesus didn't see that. He saw what was on the inside. And yes, he saw her sin, but he also saw her guilt and repentance. He pronounced her forgiven, something that no one could ever take away, and yet 2,000 years later, that's exactly what we've done. In 2,000 years, despite the forgiveness and the bravery, we are still whispering sinful behind her back. It's not on the outside what matters, it's what's on the inside. Don't judge a book for its cover. We've all heard these words and possibly even said them ourselves. Is there possibly a better example of that than this woman? On the surface, we know very little about her. Don't be fooled. Some days we think we know more than we actually do. Over the years, people have tried to take the context clues, have snatched up these small little details of her life to create what they believe is an accurate portrayal of who she was. But the truth is, our image is still hazy. We don't know if she was old or if she was young. We don't know if she was wealthy or poor. Her sins are never actually mentioned, though over the years many have speculated that she might have been a prostitute. This is only a guess. Over the years, we've lost touch with her. The color of her precious hair has faded into obscurity. And her very name has devolved only into sinful woman. It's not what is on the outside that matters. At this dinner party, Jesus is quick to remind everyone, and I should hope us, that it is not her sin that she should be remembered for. Forgiveness is supposed to be one of our trademarks. It makes our faith unique. We admit when we have done wrong. We repent and we ask for forgiveness, knowing that Jesus will give it to us. and then the weight is lifted. We go on and pass that forgiveness that we have been shown onto friends and family when they do us wrong. Or at least we try to. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We pray it every week. If you're like me, maybe more than once a week. So how is it that in 2,000 years we have failed this woman so poorly? How is it that we have failed to pass on the forgiveness that Jesus gave so freely onto her? And what does it say about how we forgive those who are closer to us? You are forgiven. We are forgiven. Can you imagine more beautiful words? Can you imagine anything more wonderful than hearing those words? Up until this moment, this woman has never heard them. And after this week, I can't help but wonder if she heard them again since that. Wouldn't it be lovely if we could all practice true forgiveness, the kind that Jesus taught us to practice, the kind that we're supposed to be known for, not our flaws or our mistakes? Wouldn't it be nice if we could pass it on to others, truly pass it on, and see people in the way that Jesus saw this woman, on the inside, not the outside? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could start here and now? Wouldn't it be nice if we could give this woman the peace that she was never allowed to have in her lifetime? Have you heard the story of the sinful woman? No. Because I hope by now you realize that all this time we haven't been hearing the story of a sinful woman. We've been hearing the story of the forgiven woman. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.